The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Royal Oak, Michigan. Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, Matt, and Angela.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Episode number 115 of the Better on Draft podcast. The first one of 2018. My name is Ken. We are here with a couple hosts. I actually don't have a beer poured, so we're going to have to work on that while I'm seeing everyone.
Yeah, man. Why are you slacking over there?
I have to come in here because apparently people delete my shit, and I have to fix said shit that gets deleted. Takes me like 20 minutes to get the show ready, and by that time, I'm just ready, dude.
I don't understand why you have to do that every week.
I don't know. I changed the thing. Like, it's literally labeled do not delete me, and they delete it. So I'm thinking at this point now they're just trolling me.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
Probably.
There's no other reason why they would do it except for just to piss me off. And to be honest, it's working. Whatever. New year, new me. I'm already pissed off. So let's go over to someone who's not as mad as me. Angela, how you doing?
Hey.
She was not expecting that.
Why are you starting with me first?
What are you drinking over there?
I have some Baptista from Nick, and then yeah, I brought this lovely McKellar. It says it's an ale brewed with spices, almond milk, cocoa, chili, black beans, and avocado leaves. Kind of sounds like what I eat for breakfast. So that should be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
We'll open that in a minute.
The avocado, she was sold right there.
And almond milk.
And almond milk. Okay. Wasn't just the avocado wasn't enough to buy it. It had to have the almond milk in
right.
it. That means that's lactose free and is that vegan then because it's almond milk?
I'm not sure, but if anyone's curious of the name, it's called Crossing the Border. So
Crossing the Border, okay. Wow.
We'll crack that and see what it tastes like.
Yeah. Well, Rob, what's going on with you?
Better New Year!
Happy. In this country, we say happy. We were like saying that at the end of last week's show. The whole trading places thing.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Just you know, doing the same thing as everybody else around here. Getting through the cold and
ridiculous.
I mean, it's Michigan. I mean, I woke up, I turned the car on, and it said it was minus two. I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, it's not minus two, and it's cold in the car, but it ain't minus two, so I'm good.
Somebody needs to pass me an opener, too, by the way, because mine's in my coat, which is next to Rob's. So.
Never short of openers in this studio.
I don't even know what. There we go. Yeah. Like, which one's the opener?
It's definitely not the pepper spray.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. let's not have one of those accidents.
Yeah.
I heard you're supposed to test it once a year. So should tonight be the night?
Here you go, Nick.
No,
get the fuck out of here.
I mean, you have glasses on. It's protection.
I mean, you could just go down, go just the downtown
open
Royal Oak
on,
and just
underneath.
Find somebody on the street there. I mean,
it probably wouldn't take long. But yeah. I mean, Royal Oak's nice.
Right. I mean, hey, it's cold. Hey, pepper's hot. Hey, you need to warm something up? Here you go.
There you go. Maybe
pepper, you can be the first one to review this beer.
Mm.
Crossing the border.
Is definitely, I can taste the pepper. I'm not really much of a person for almond milk, so I have no idea where the flavor is on that.
Whoa.
It's
smoke.
I don't know. It's yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's smoke.
Yeah.
And pepper. And that, for me, that's really all I get.
So it's not to be confused with salt and pepper.
Yeah,
it's
there's really no
pepper.
Sweet notes.
Right.
Which, yeah. I there's, mean, the only thing that would maybe do that is
it's like
the
a
almond inhale. Milk, but not really. So
it's
I'm.
Like, yeah.
It's just, I feel like I inhaled or just like ingested a bunch of
I mean,
smoke just now.
It kind of going off a can. Smoke and pepper's here, and it's an effect. I mean, that's about it.
Should have pushed it back.
I mean, I certainly would not order it again. It's
clears the sinuses, that's for certain.
It's not for me at all.
Yeah, a little bit. I'll take just, that back. Like, oh, so, yeah, a little.
It's kind of reminding me of Atwater's smoked porter, because it's just straight smoke for me, and just that pepper at the end.
Yeah,
and then that's it. which actually I don't mind the Atwater smoked porter because I think that's pretty good. I think there's probably just too much with the almond milk and avocado that's trying to make some other flavor out of this that's just, I don't know, it just kind of takes, he's got the smoke and it just falls right off. And then here comes the pepper, which yeah. is just, you know, you put that on the Scoville scale of maybe 2 and then it's just gone.
It kind of smells like beef jerky to me. It's not very pleasant.
It's like they take a bunch of liquid smoke and poured it in it.
Like you just open a bag of Jack Links and like, yeah, I guess I could, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I think that's what I've been, that's usually like the thing that I eat when I get here is the little Jack Links jerky sticks. I'm like, all right.
What about you, Nick? What do you think about this?
It's, like I said, the whole liquid smoke thing, they just poured a whole bunch in it.
Just took the dropper
this
and just
dropped it.
And it just got rid of the dropper yeah. and just dumped the bottle in there?
Definitely no sweet. Definitely a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad, but I don't know.
It's just there.
It's yeah. I think that's really just the best way to put it.
Is the price that's on that bottle what you paid for it?
Yes.
That's not worth it at all, probably, then.
How it was much? Only $5. For $5, I would try it again.
Try it again.
Why not? I you mean, think it's it was like a price of going to a bar and picking out a beer.
That's true. I'm trying to think of the last time I went to a bar and ordered a beer I've never had before, though.
Oh, are you kidding me? If there's a beer I've never had, that's usually what I'm ordering. I can't stand to see yeah. the same lineup over and over again.
I'm the same way as Angela. Whenever I do go to a restaurant, I'm always trying to find. And that's why I say, well, what's your beer list? And then they start rattling stuff off. The first one that I know for certain I've never had, I tell them to stop. I'm like, I want that.
I think I'll do it more when we go to beer bars like your 8 Degrees, sure. your Hopcat. Mm-hmm. But when I'm going to places that I don't trust or I don't believe their lines are clean or anything like that, I go with whatever the standard is at that time, be it an amber, a brown, Guinness.
Our fair share of them.
I was going to say I've had my fair share of bad Guinness too.
I think you and I both had.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point to make how clean lines are.
Clean lines can make it can make the difference. I don't want to try a new beer that I know very well, there's a place, and it's not to call them out for being a bad place because I don't think they are, but probably like the Gathering Place in Troy, like dive bars like that. Like Second Base over on 9 Mile. These are places where I don't believe their lines get clean or get cleaned well enough or regularly enough. But in the same sense, you're not going there for clean lines. You're going there to, you know,
good food and
get drunk and
yeah, get shit faced.
Right. Exactly. Like deep fried or pizza and drink a bunch of beer. Like,
yeah.
The last time I went to Second Base, I got a pitcher of Oberon. I think that's when we were with Jack and.
Yeah.
Jack and Dan.
Yeah, that was when.
But that's the thing is we'll grab pictures of Killian's or whatever. Like I went to a place over in Troy, and I'm not going to call them out because I have other issues with them. Uh-oh. But they're $18 pitchers of Guinness.
Have I been here before?
You probably have. It's a very.
Do they do karaoke there?
No.
Okay.
No, not that I know of.
Damn.
Yeah, this place had $18 pitchers of Guinness, which is ridiculous.
At that point, I was just going to freaking buck it at that point.
that's the thing is I was expecting, you know, I can understand $6 for a 23 of Guinness. That's about standard for major bars. Like I would expect to pay that at B-Dubs, really. I wouldn't expect it to pay it at a random local bar.
Right.
So when you're going to charge me 3 23s at the same price – when I order it in a pitcher format, you know I ain't getting the full 60 ounces.
Right.
And, you know, that it just bothers me. Like how, and then there's, of course there's no prices. Yeah. So I didn't know until I got 3 pitchers of it. Mm-hmm. Even Dan was just like, cause Dan and I split all 3 pitchers. And so he was giving me money and he just threw me a 20 and I'm like, oh, that should be fine. 20 should be fine. Maybe a little more for tip.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I guess I got to give you more than that. So speaking of beers, let's go over a quick thing, because a lot of us are in different portions of either the industry, whether we're completely fans. Rob's been in the industry enough between hosting bars, talking to a lot of bartenders. Angela actually works in the industry. I work in the point of sale system.
I just drink.
How do you guys tip when you go out to a bar? Or a brewery, for that matter. Like, do you have rules? Do you go, you know, what is your regulation? Like, for me, mine is if I'm ordering food and drinks, it's 20% plus to the next dollar. Mm-hmm. That's always food and drink.
So let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Do you tip 20% all the time? Or if the service is bad, do you go less than 20%?
I never go less than 20%. I will go more if its service is good.
Really?
Yep. I will never go less than 20%.
And why is that? This is not his question.
In regards to a lot of things, especially there are a lot of underworkings that a lot of people don't understand in the restaurant industry.
Sure.
One, tip sharing. Two, in regards to –
depending on the establishment.
It all depends on the establishment too,
that's
yes.
That's one big thing.
But just because – so for instance, if you're purchasing alcohol and food from a server,
yes.
You know, you're getting tableside service.
Yep.
They might owe part of their sales, not their tips, but mm-hmm. their sales – to the bartender for making the drinks.
Okay.
So now 2-3% of alcohol needs to go to the bartender.
Okay.
So when you start factoring in a lot of these things, and I don't know every single place, every place is different, but in the same sense, I also don't know what that person went through that day.
Yeah.
Was it shitty service because they're a shitty person, or did something we've all – how many – out of the four of us,
yeah.
have you ever been to work and had a shitty day and it affected everyone else?
Well –
pretty much any time.
Yeah, I
any
mean,
day somebody comes up to my desk.
No, yeah, I mean, now, me personally, I try to keep it to myself as much as I can.
But you can't the whole time.
No, not
especially when you're having interactions with different people.
Like, you'll make like one or two comments about that day, and whether it gives the idea to that person or not, that's, you know, a matter of interpretation on that person's part.
For me, it's 20% to the next dollar or more. Like I have done bigger tips for better service.
Sure.
If they're giving me more information, like, you know, hey, if they're really intelligent in regards to, oh, what about this beer? What about this? And they're right too. Don't BS me or anything.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, don't be like, oh, this beer has a lot of hops in it. It's called Newcastle. I don't know about that.
Okay.
So, yes.
So what if you're not ordering food then?
If I'm not ordering food, I usually go with the same thing. So $1 per pint. Usually no matter what.
Okay.
I rarely drink heavy beers anyway, so I don't have to worry about high class.
Yeah.
But if it's a really expensive pint or a really expensive beer, I may go to $2.
Okay.
$2 for a flight, $2 for a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm ordering anything else, say like one of the things that I always do is I always make sure, especially for my job, I always tip on water.
Okay.
If somebody serves me water, like I'm not serving, I'll always add an extra dollar or two for water because they're doing more work filling
sure.
my water
yeah, yeah, yeah.
than they are popping a cap of a Bud Light
yeah.
and giving it to me.
Okay.
So that's kind like again, everything's usually different, but that's like the lowest I'll go for everything.
Okay.
Is usually again $2 for a flight, $2 for a pitcher, $1 for a pint or a 23 or a 10 or whatever.
Okay.
And then 20% if I'm ordering food just on the full.
Okay, so for me, I go – and now I'm going to sound like a complete asshole now. Thanks, Ken. Nothing for food and drink. Most of the time, it's nothing less than 15%. Now, whenever I do like just drinks, for example, it's always $1. So if I get 10 drinks, it's $10. You know, I think that's – fair, I think. You know, if you're just doing just
even
drinks.
Even if they're like $1 PBRs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I used to do
because you think about it like this, and it kind of goes back to what, you know, Ken was saying. Like, they could be having a shitty day.
So nice of you guys to take that into consideration.
It's like we said.
Yeah.
We've all had shitty days before.
We've all had shitty days, and I think – I don't know about me. I don't know what you guys think about the younger – generation, you know, the ones that are like just turning 21. How often do those freaking kids tip?
I don't know.
I don't know. Neither do I.
Not good from what I've
seen. You, Angela, you're at Brown Iron. Is that, you know, the case when you see a bunch of 21, 22 year olds? They don't tip as much.
Do you run away from them?
I don't want to like put anyone in a box.
Well, you're not.
You know.
Because they're all unnamed.
Because there's 60-year-olds that tip horribly. So it is what it is. People all have their own beliefs. And,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, what people need to realize too, like speaking from someone that was in the industry, like if you have one person that leaves you a 10% tip, you'll mm-hmm. have another person that leaves you a 30.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, if you make 20% off your overall sales, you did your job. You got what you were supposed
sure.
to.
Sure. Now, go ahead.
It's just all balanced. Yeah. That's all. Because you get a lot of people that are super jaded in the industry, and they'll tell you, like,
yeah,
screw those people. No, like, it is what it is.
So I've been fortunate enough to work in the restaurant industry.
Fortunate.
Yeah. Wait a second. Yeah. I actually enjoyed my restaurant job.
I used to work at a Mongolian
barbecue. I used to eat Mongolian barbecue.
How long did you work there?
I worked there. I was 15 when I started, and I was there well past 21 when they closed. They closed, went out of business. So I was there for 6 years.
It's because I showed up, just ate everything.
I was there for 6 years. I was prep cook. I was dishwasher. I was host. I was cook. I was everything minus the manager, basically.
Damn,
yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah, you know.
I waited a couple tables, too.
Okay, so you know. Honestly, I retract what I say. Like you said, I'm not one of those jaded people. I actually did enjoy my time, and because of it, you know, I graduated school, and I love it.
Yeah.
And so it's – but, you know, the nights and the weekends and the crabby assholes. Like,
yes.
You couldn't pay me to go back to that.
Right. I mean, well, I mean – Does anyone want to make that like a permanent job, like a career job? Unless you're like Lisa Vanderpump and working in one of her restaurants there. Sorry, we talked a little bit about real true Housewives of Beverly Hills.
There are a few people that I've learned that not necessarily your career wait staff, but for the fact that there are a lot of wait staff out there that make a lot of money.
Yeah,
doing
a lot
that
of money.
Job.
Yeah, I made a lot of money doing it.
There's a few like when I was hosting in Ashley's. I mean, basically, I'd been there for over 3 years, and it was some of the same wait staff that was there the entire time that was you know, in that establishment. So, you know, some people, I guess, like you said, they make quite a bit of money. But usually in my instance, it does depend on whether or not I'm hosting, because, you know, that's another thing that I kind of put in as a factor is that, you know, when I'm trying to get people to play trivia, sometimes the wait staff will help me in getting those people to play. So, and on top of me getting any beer or any food, usually if I'm ordering something, I'm usually around that 30% kind of area.
Oh, wow.
Now, see, you brought up a point, and that's definitely something that we can touch on as well, is that when you're there for a long time for like a sports game, mm-hmm. and you're taking up a table for hours,
right,
I always tip more than usually 20%. Usually I'm in the 30 to 40% just because I'm taking up a seat that could have been a new customer for that table.
Right.
And like, you have to think about that because, again, trivia is 2 hours long. So you're usually there a half hour before, half hour after, 3 hours long if you're sitting there.
Right.
While playing, while waiting for your prizes, waiting for it to start.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sitting there for 3 hours, you're taking up that customer's thing for 3 hours. They can't turn that table.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So
there's that. I mean, the only other difference is probably if I just get a beer, almost regardless, if I just get like a beer, maybe two, I'll go as high as 40%, just because, you know, I'm just getting a beer. What the hell? You know, if I was going to get food, I probably would have got food anyway. So
do you tip any different based on a bottle or draft?
Not really. No.
No. OK.
No.
It's definitely an interesting conversation. And you know, this is probably a conversation we should have had with Joe and Nick while they were on the show.
Yeah.
Because they are industry experts. But in regards to tipping, going out there, I'm always an advocate, and I always tell people, you know, you need to tip at least a minimum 15%. Like, that's just right. No matter what. You should never tip less than 15%. But here's another one. Do you tip at takeout? Does anybody tip for takeout
food? I do.
I do not.
I do. I at least put not necessarily 15%, 20%, at least a few bucks to make it – you know, for putting it all together, boxing it, putting all the stuff together, and, you know, so I will tip a few bucks there.
What about you, Angela?
Yeah, I tip on everything. It's
okay.
But when you come from that industry, it's hard to get away from.
I actually tipped out on takeout today, as a matter of fact.
Guess that makes me the asshole on this one.
It's not just an asshole thing.
I mean,
like,
I guess I just – I look at
it's more common to not tip
those
than
people,
it is to tip.
Typically, those people that are doing, like, carryout services, they're making more than minimum wage, but – they also are, I don't know, you know, if it's expected from their employer, but they do kind of like the tips is supposed to like cushion what they can't pay else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? I had a a friend in college. She used to work Applebee's car side to go, so she was making a little bit more than the minimum wage, right. Definitely more than what a waitress would make, and her tips weren't the most extravagant, but you know the hourly wage kind of evened it out slightly, I guess you can say.
I did that for Chili's for a while.
Did
actually,
you? You
I like
car side.
Well, I didn't have to walk it out; they came in and picked it up. But I got paid $8 an hour, and then depending on the night, I would usually make like $40 or $50 in tips. Yeah, it was not bad
enough for the bar.
They should start doing like the party stores and start delivering beer with the food.
Mm-hmm. Question though, like when you go to pick up beer, do you tip when you go to beer releases? Because that's what my friends and I have been really not so sure about.
Now that I always throw
a five for the hassle, but I'm like super curious how often people and what they do tip in those. Because if you're buying a case of beer that costs $120, I would not expect a 20% tip. But what do you give them zero or do you give them?
I mean, I guess that's a completely new concept.
I keep running into this problem. I'm like, I don't want to go to releases anymore because I don't know what to do.
I mean, where did this start? I mean, for you, because
I've gone to like quite a few now, and I've gone to Witch's Hat, Old Nation, Shrams. I never know what to do, so I always throw a five. I'm curious just what other people do.
I don't think I've ever tipped on retail.
I know. I've never – because, yeah, for a release, I mean, I've
but
never –
But again, I don't think I've ever been to a beer release that – I went to one, and that was Kunin's, I think, Summer Solstice, the Cherry Ode Brune back in 2015 or whatever. That was the last beer release I went to.
I mean, the only release I've gone to where I actually paid when I got the beer was Old Nation, and it was just in line, grabbed the beer, and then I was gone. I mean, obviously with Founders, most of the Founders releases, those you're already paid for, and you're just going there to pick it up. I guess I never even thought of that concept to actually give a tip for a beer release. That's a new one.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. Again, I haven't been.
There's
to
always
any...
a tip line available, so I'm like.
So that is more of a point of sale thing. Most point of sales,
right,
they don't separate like a retail, so it prints out as almost as if you ordered food there.
Fair enough. So if the bartender, for instance, when I go to Old Nation, I don't know who plays what role, but usually every time I've gone there, it's been the person behind the bar that is ringing me up. So. Okay, are they getting paid bartender wages or are they clocked in as something else for that event, for that release? So me thinking if they're clocked in as a bartender, they're not getting paid more than $5 an hour. So yeah, I'm going to leave them a tip. I just don't know. It's one of those things that I wish we could. Could you guys tweet us what you think?
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely post it out to the Facebook group and start a conversation with it. I don't think I've ever tipped retail, and knowing at least from the point of sale business, and again, it's probably both sides. It's going to be a server or bartender who's making, the server bartender minimum wage, and as well as there are times where servers or bartenders are making event wages where they're getting a specific wage guaranteed.
Right.
What about so here's a fun one because we've all been to them weddings. How do you guys tip at a wedding?
Dollar drink.
Well, actually, so late.
I usually throw a 20 in right away.
That's usually what I do.
Yeah, I think I got that from you, Ken.
Probably did.
Yeah, I think I did. Like right from the get go, I'll put like a 20 in there because it's me and my fiance, and it's like just.
How did that feel?
What?
My fiance.
Saying that?
I don't know.
Is that what you're going for?
It's okay.
You went with a little emphasis on that.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't feel any.
Said it with a little pep in his voice.
Well, I have been taking care of her quite a bit lately. A little bit more protective of what she's been doing with her little.
Keep her away from sharp objects.
Yeah, sharp objects. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. It just happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've been dropping like a $20 bill in there and be like, just keep it.
So I bartended
nice
a wedding. I've never bartended a wedding before, and I don't know if I ever will again because it's not really a thing I do. But I did it for a friend of a friend, and I had no idea how to make any drinks.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't believe how much money we made. It was like a normal 200-person wedding. Four of us behind the bar. I think we walked with like well over 200 a person. It was incredible how much money we made. And not one of us – there was one actual bartender behind the bar. The rest of us had no idea.
We okay, just, Google, how do you make an old fashioned?
We were just okay, Google, how do you make a Godfather? Everything.
What's a fashion and actually, how do I mix it with old?
They actually had a wedding drink. They were drinking Moscow Mules. By the end of the day, they drank all of the vodka. There was not a drop nice. Left in the building.
Speaking of, did you notice now that that is now being distributed by Sellerman?
Oh, yeah, I've already bought a 4-pack and drank it.
Good for them.
Yeah, that and what
pineapple
is it?
Cider.
Pineapple cider.
Yep.
If that, oh,
how it was not the Saigon Sin, I'll never know.
If that coffee cider hits stores, yeah, I'm all on that.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I think it was like $17.99 for a 4-pack, too, so it wasn't too bad for
no,
a price.
No, that's not bad at
for
all.
For 4 12-ounce Moscow Miels. I mean, those are 4 meads. Those right. are, they ain't cheap or easy
no.
to make.
No, I mean, heck, the last time I stopped in there, was 2 weeks ago. And I got a couple cans. They canned a couple coffee ciders for me, and that was $20 for, I think I got 3. So, you know, if they put that in around in that price range at $17.99 for a 4-pack, I'm all over that because. I'm sorry, Odd Side Bean Flicker is good, but I think the coffee cider is much better, has a stronger coffee flavor for me that I really enjoy. So that's where I'm at.
Take that.
That's all I got to say
it's,
about
it's
that.
Ridiculous
all I got to
when,
say about that.
It's ridiculous when you think because – as much as we're talking about, you know, the good side of tipping, we're talking about people who have made a lot of money walking out, you know, 4 people walking out with $200 from a wedding. You're talking how well a lot of us tip. Again, there was a time, it was a bachelor party, and we were at an Embassy Suites. And I literally threw the guy $100. Because there was about 15 of us. I threw him $100, and I said, keep him pouring. Because he's only working for 2 hours, too.
Oh.
So he just made $50 an hour just from us.
That was so crazy that night.
But again, what about like is there other industry like so Bee Nectar does not allow tipping at all.
That's strange, really?
What? So Bee Nectar does not allow tippings. They put the money or the cost into the beer or to the mead, cider, beer, they carry it all. They put that cost in there and then they pay their employees a wage. So would you be more apt to go to a store or a restaurant where you don't tip, but obviously your food's going to be more expensive? Or do you like that control that, I can not tip this person because they gave me a dirty look?
I mean, I guess that's the thing, is that some people will look at that and they'll say, well, this person can serve me. And from just a general perspective of not looking at, you know, the people who make the food, the people who just even put it on the tray for the server to bring it out, that they will just put everything on the server and just say, you know, I'm paying this person, giving them a gratuity, and they can treat me and everybody else like shit for 8 hours, and they're still getting a gratuity. There's no way that I can, I guess, I don't know the word I'm looking for, is to punish them for, you know, not giving me the service that I deserve as being a paying customer walking in.
Do you honestly think you'd get poor service if there is no tips available?
I don't think so. Myself, personally, no. I mean, hell.
Because I've never had poor service at Bee Nectar.
No?
And, I mean, that's the only place that I know off the top of my head. So.
Kind of similar but different. One of my favorite places I've ever been is a brewery in Colorado, and they basically have every employee they all get paid the same hourly, and they pool all of the tips. And so they all take turns doing different roles. So one day you might bartend, one day you might manage the floor, one day you might wash dishes, which kind of sucks. But those people all really love their job, and they all feel like they're on the same playing field. So there isn't a lot of like animosity towards their coworkers. Because of how they run that, I think that's a really good idea.
Well, I like that idea because now there's not a chain to follow. Like, everyone does all the jobs.
Right.
There's not dishwasher to, you know, host to server to bartender to head bartender. Like, you're literally going in there, you're being trained on everything, and now you're going to be everything.
And you have an even stake in everything.
Yeah, no, well, that's a great way to look at it.
that too. Like you're, I think I do enjoy the idea of pool tips simply because I think it boosts teamwork and the ability to work with each other and, you know, helping each other out. But I think there can be also a lot of animosity to employees who, if you think this employee is just riding it out, not doing their fair share, but obviously they're still getting paid the same amount.
Right.
So, you know, the word tips, and I don't know if it's true or not, but TIPS, to ensure prompt service. Like it's,
yeah,
it's,
I forgot about that.
You know, that's how we do it, but we also, you know, we use tips as something else. Like we tip our hairstylist or barber.
Yep.
We tip on a lot of different fields. But
pet groomer.
Shit. But really, well,
yeah.
I could just imagine Boomer.
Oh, yeah.
At the groomer.
At the first time we took him there, he was pretty wild. We take him to go see our friend Crystal.
Yeah.
Pretty wild the first time, but definitely started warming up as we started taking him more and more and more.
My dog was not like that.
No, your dog would go ape shit.
My dog, 10 pounds, was a three-person job to get the nails just grinded.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
It is ridiculous. Yeah. I always felt bad. Like, I tipped because I felt bad, not because I felt obligated. I just felt bad.
Yeah. Those little dogs, you know, they're a handful. They really, really are.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting question. I'm going to float it over just because obviously we're all drinkers. We've all called Ubers before. Do you guys tip your Uber or Lyft driver at all?
So the Uber app doesn't give you the option, but the Lyft app does. Mm-hmm. I tip my Uber driver maybe like once or twice, and then I stopped after I found out what they were making.
Not in this city.
This is when I first started using Uber.
Okay.
This is back, you know, probably back when I was still in college. And I would tip my Lyft drivers when we were in Chicago for the Bears-Lions game back in November. It at least gives you the option. And, you know, the Lyft drivers were actually very, very nice, and they were pretty cool. And I actually kind of like how Lyft gives you that option, whereas Uber doesn't.
So this is kind of new to me. I always thought that was put in the price, so you didn't have to tip.
Well, I mean, well, so I think what Uber. So, for example, like Uber drivers, they make like 70-something% or something. I don't know. Don't quote me to it, but let's just say we'll just make it a nice round number, like 70% of whatever they take in, and then the other 30 goes to Uber, for example. I mean, if a lot of those fares are like $10, you know, just to get you from, I don't know, the Renaissance Center in Detroit to, I don't know,
Folding Warehouse.
That's about what? A 4 or 5 mile drive?
Roughly, yeah, five.
That's probably about a $10, $15 fare, maybe 20 tops, you know.
Until it's 8X surcharge.
Until
it's Saturday at 11
surge
p.m.
Surge pricing. Oh, God, me and Ken got killed on that one.
Yeah, we took a cab that. Oh no, we got killed when we went to the Ford Field Lions game.
Yeah, from
but when we went from Joe Louis back to my apartment,
yeah,
and we wound up taking a cab because it was like 4X surge ending in 10 seconds.
Yeah,
so we waited the 10 seconds and then it said 8X surge, and I'm like,
oh my
yeah,
god,
to hell with
so
that.
There was a van there, and he's like, where are you guys going? I'm like, 2 miles away, and he's like, all right, $20. I'm like, all right, there you go.
So, I mean. 70% of 20? Well, I don't know. What's $14? I mean, it's not bad, but you know, that's like it could be 10, 20, 20 something minutes.
So, our fearless fifth host is actually listening to the show and wanted to get his 2 cents
which
in because he doesn't
know how
to shut up.
Holla.
Chief Holla.
Which one do you think that can't shut
up? The one in Arizona?
The one that can't shut up, not the one that just sits here and answers when I say, hey, Dan.
Hey, Daniel.
Only tip when a career is dependent on tips. So I guess that begs the question, do you guys give tips or even gifts to people that are, you know, common in your life? Like, I have people who work the security desk at my apartment every single day.
You tip them?
I don't tip them, but I give them gifts, and usually it's food, and they're happy with that.
Yeah, I've had the honor of meeting some of those guys that run the front desk at your apartment. They are some of the coolest people. They are pretty cool.
They also know you. Like, the second time you show up, they know who
you
are.
Yeah, you don't even have to bother signing in, Nick. Just keep going.
They know who you are. They know where you're going. Their ability to have rapport like that is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. And those are the kinds of people that, you know,
and those are usually spread out through the year. Like if I have a few extra bucks on me for that day, I'll be like, hey, you know, do you want a soda? You want something from the, because we have a little bodega in our apartment. So I'm like, you want a soda? You want a snack or something to get you through your day? Because you have to trust.
How long are they there a day?
8 hours a day.
Okay, all right.
So three shifts, eight hours. So they're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're there for 8 hours, three shifts.
Still though,
yeah.
With as many people that come and go out of your apartment. And if you ever decide to go and visit Ken at his apartment, if you ever notice, all you fans out there, there are people constantly going.
Oh, yeah.
Coming and going. Elderly to kids.
Well, yeah, it used to be a senior citizen home.
It did,
so.
Yes. But,
and then I showed up. And I'm like, this is nuts. Ken, I changed it all. No,
damn it,
it's weird because, you know, we're obviously past the holiday of giving. Like, the giving season is over yet. You know, for me personally, I don't feel like that has changed. Like,
you don't
You
keep going.
No.
I mean, you might not do it as much per se, but you know, you don't stop giving. Like the security guards at your, you know, apartment complex. That's a great idea. Of you don't stop.
Well, that's the thing is, if I'm ordering pizza or something, I'll bring down like a slice or two for them just so they can have some food.
Yeah.
But bringing it back is before we go to the first break and we get back to beer because we kind of went on a whole industry tips, pay, and all
this
stuff.
It all applies though. When you think
it does.
Is this Elton John?
Damn right.
Okay.
Is there a time that you've never tipped someone when you should have?
I have never not tipped anyone, but I have tipped significantly less than what the social norm would be, and it was, in my opinion, deserving, especially when a waitress parks her ass next to the table where you and your date are eating dinner, and it's her friend.
Couldn't look away, could you? Was that kind of a
No.
I'm being funny, Nick.
Yeah, I know. But when I clearly need something and I'm literally holding it up to like, I kind of need this. You've been talking to your friends for the last 15 minutes.
That's the thing that I can never not stop is the fact that I'm one of those people that if it's been a while since I've seen a server, I'll be like, you know, hey, excuse me, I need to talk to you because I need to cash out or I need to go or I need to order more beer.
Yep.
So I'm one of those guys who raises his hand and is like, you know, hey, I need to, you know.
Well, do you do like the eye contact thing?
I try with the eye contact first,
and
like look,
work,
and I'm
raise
like,
your hand.
Like, you know, maybe like a nod up, like, you know, hey, I need to come talk to you.
It's like, hey, come over here.
So
yeah, I'm talking to you.
But I mean, being on the other end, I know, Angela, you've served. Do you consider that rude or?
Well, when anyone would put up their hand at me, I would just pretend I didn't see it and act.
Oh God! Come on.
I never let my people rot like that though. It's usually the people that I don't, you know, they're not so nice. And so
this is 66 taps we're talking about here.
Over I will say this, and my
this
manager
was at Chili's.
Will vouch for me.
Was this at Chili's?
No.
Trying to.
I knew that beer list like the back of my hand. I never misserved beer, ever. I was one of the only people that could actually get
shit.
It right. I did. And I used to.
Did a customer say that you got it wrong?
No, he just said something about 66 taps.
Oh, but, I thought there was a story like, yeah, and a customer said,
I gave them
the wrong beer, and I said, no, I didn't.
You know, here's the thing. I used to just sit there and walk circles in my section, so if I walked away and then all of a sudden you threw your hand up, well, now you're going to wait till I walk back because I'm doing something else.
I'm doing the rounds, and I only go counterclockwise. It's basically
you can't
saying.
Throw me off track.
Can't expect me to show up at 3 o'clock.
Listen,
and you
people like me. I always got 20%. I'm not worried about it.
I get my money.
Everybody gets tips. Everybody get tips.
Matt threw something up on Dak B, and he said something about like in search of tips, and I wanted to make a really dumb joke, but I didn't. But I feel like that's my where my mind instantly goes after, you know, 10 years of restaurant.
Oh,
tip
God.
Jokes all around. Got tips for days.
Oh, jeez.
Good Lord.
So we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the news with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 115, Better on Draft podcast.
What up?
Hey. Nick was passing around the mint double decadent from Atwater.
Yeah, we've been talking about Atwater, I think it was at least last week, but the last couple of weeks.
We brought them up a few times.
Dude, this thing just completely smells like an Andy's mint.
Dude, this is freaking without. Ooh, this is freaking great, dude.
I mean,
this is honestly one of the best beers I've had in a long time.
It's like three parts Andes, and then the other part is like the York peppermint patty, like in the commercial where there's the refreshing part, and it's just that snowdrift just hits you.
Yeah.
I mean, damn.
This is really good. I love this. I don't know why people continuously try to hate on Atwater. This is good.
What the fuck is wrong with y'all people? This is amazing.
This is really good. I'm not going to lie.
This tastes like double mint.
This is like our studio.
Double mint. What, you don't get any of the chocolate notes at all?
Not really.
I get
all mint with a little sweet.
I get the chocolate notes.
This shit is like Arsenio Hall at a cheese party.
It's towards the back, I think.
Damn. This is
good though. It's
this
smooth.
Is good.
Yeah, this is.
I mean, the chocolate is very smooth. It's in there.
So the ABV is at 8%, and yep. I'm pretty sure that's dangerous because I could probably go for a few of these and get completely blitzed in an hour or two.
I think this is probably like two and through because I don't think I could do more than that.
I don't think it's that sweet though. Like there are beers where I've just got to and I'm like I just can't drink it because it's too sweet. But this is not. I don't maybe because it's not like a sugary sweet.
Sure.
Like a chocolate or you know, something with that sugar type feel, but like the mint is just perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean it was added to probably one of the best styles of beers ever, which is a brown ale.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Course.
No, I just got it. Okay.
I don't know if you guys are understanding why I like it so much. You're like, I don't know why he likes it. It's a brown ale.
I know the other one, I guess in comparison would be barrel age, but this in comparison to Mocha Mutt.
I'd take this every day.
I would too.
As opposed to Right Brain Naughty Girl.
Why not as opposed to Dragon's Milk Mint?
I was going to bring that one up too.
We can crack that open.
Now that one, I didn't like the first bottle that I had of it. The second one, it kind of got a little bit better, like as if I was listening.
Make sure
to
you guys get this Cooper Blonde Doppelbach, by the way.
You know where else you can get brown ales, right?
Brown Iron Brew House. I mean, I don't know if you're going in with the alliteration right there, but Brown Iron Brew House just at 26 and Van Dyke, north of 26 and Van Dyke. Definitely check them out. 66 drafts. I had probably my favorite beer of 2018. Brand new year. And it was Life Water from Latitude 42 on Nitro. Nice. And it was so good.
They just tapped the Wolverine State Blue Water Light. Brown Iron just actually tapped their Irish Red Envy.
Yeah, the Irish Red Envy's all right, but the Maple Pecan is probably one of their best beers out there, and I think they're doing something with the Maple Pecan. I know I was talking to the owner on Wednesday night. Angela might know. If not, she's just going to not say anything. But I think they're doing something with the Maple Pecan and doing something bigger with it for the winter festival. So I don't know for sure. I was going to say I was drunk that night, but I wasn't. We did give away 2 kegs of beer.
How'd that go, by the way?
It went all right. We had about 60 to 70 people show up and drink some beers. A lot of them liked Boss Tweed, but a lot of them really liked Baffin.
Okay. I was wondering what the reception was, because there seemed to be a lot of pushback in terms of Baffin. I talked to
a lot of people, and a lot of them understood. Like, they were trying to compare the beers, and I'm like, you can't compare the beers because one's a double and one's a single. And when they're trying it, so some people who are loving that grapefruit taste, that citrus taste that you get from the Boss Tweed.
Sure.
They were liking that more, and it was a husband and wife, and one liked one liked the other, and that was their thing, is that they liked one and not the other simply because of what it was producing. So one of them was a little bit thinner. The Baffin single was a little bit thinner, whereas the double was a little bit thicker with the citrus.
Right.
So I talked to just about everyone there. It was a lot of fun, too, because there was a guy they were getting the beer, and he was just ordering one, and the waitress is like, well, you know, you get both for free. And he's like, no, no. And I'm hearing this right behind me. So I go over and I say, you're going to deny the beer I bought you right in front of my face. His whole table is laughing at this point because they realized who I was.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are fans of the show. They listen to the show. One of them was actually on the show. It was the Japanese craft beer store owner.
Kunin.
Yes, over at Kunin. So he was there in town just for the week. He just happened to be here. He's like, oh, I guess this is happening.
Yeah.
Because he still lives in Japan.
Oh, wow.
So he was there with his girlfriend, got to meet his girlfriend, got to meet a few other of his friends, and we were all having a good time. So the consensus was that a lot of people liked Boss Tweed a lot, but right. a lot of people were surprised how well Baffin's Wicked Smart was. So I think everyone won that night. One, because I bought them beer. Two, because they got a chance to, one, try a beer they probably never tried before, which is the Wicked Smart. Two, they got a beer that they probably love, which is Boss Tweed. And three, they got some good food, because I saw a lot of food going out there, and I was really upset because I would say I'm hungry, and then I'd see more people ordering beer, so I'd go talk to them, forget I'm hungry, come back, I'm hungry. See more people, go talk to them. So by the time it was over, it was 9 o'clock. I'm like, well, I'm not going to wait for food now. I'm just going to go home.
Just go home. Now, and interesting enough that a lot of the naysayers that were getting on about Baffin and Wicked Smart and saying that it was poorly rated on Untappd or you know, basically down in the average 2.75. I'm looking at it right now, and it's currently sitting at 3.91. So, get the fuck out.
So, I'd be curious to look at what the people vote, because obviously people were rating it. You could see what's great. I love Digital Pour as much as it's an okay program. There's a lot of things that it can learn from itself and do better. But on Digital Pour, you get like Instagram photos and Twitter updates or Untappd updates and all these things. So we were seeing people live check in the beers and tasting them. So we definitely had a lot of fun at the event. Angela was serving up beers. Thank you, Angela.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, and a lot of the comments that I'm seeing on here, there's one person said, totally giving M43 a run for its money. You know, one saying it's not better than Boss Tweed, but still gave it a 4. Another one saying very close to Boss Tweed, but like you said, I don't understand how you could really do the comparison considering being a single versus a double. So there's some interesting ratings and comments up here. You know, wasn't expecting much, but bonus, excellent up front, juice ball. So I definitely seemed like there were people who were liking it and enjoying the fact that, or not being as upset that Wicked Smart won.
Yeah, so we had a lot of people obviously asking how Baffin completely obliterated everyone, except for, I mean, they won the last round by 8. But again, I think if, mind you, we're going to be introducing the Stout 16 again this year. I think we're going to be doing 16 East Coast and 16 West Coast breweries. That's all Matt Bush's game, so it's going to be more details to come. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll be solidifying everything right after the Winter Beer Fest. But one of the big things is that if they win again, I think they're just done, like disqualified.
Their jersey gets retired.
They get put in the rafters. Congratulations, you guys are great. Consider yourselves the winner, and everything else is for second place. So, as I've said that a few times, like when I get cocky or arrogant about something, and maybe I'm not showing up to an event, I'd be like, yeah, you guys are playing for second place anyways. So I wanted somebody to win, because if I was there, it'd be for second place. But as always with segment 2.
Here is Robert with the beer news.
It's good that we got that on video, too. This decadent is really good.
That is an awesome.
I know
segue.
This decadent is amazing. I'm definitely gonna pick up a 6-pack of this shit.
So Rob, what's
going
on in the news?
Fours, believe it or not.
Oh, nice. Anyway, all right, a couple things. Obviously, we were sitting here talking about, Stout 16s and challenges, and there's a challenge that's coming up starting this Wednesday.
Yeah,
Ashley's
this.
Beer and Grill of Westland is bringing back their usual brewery throwdown. Unlike last year where they completely went out of state, which definitely riled up a couple of the guys in this studio because they were not happy about that. But luckily, this time, everything is going local. Again. So the competition is going to be the same as it always is. The Wednesday of the throwdown, each brewery puts 4 beers on tap. The brewery that gets the most pours wins and moves on to the next round. So this coming Wednesday, going to be, obviously Wednesday, January 10th, is going to be Ellison versus Old Nation.
Ugh.
The Battle of East Lansing, for sure. Yeah,
definitely, Lansing, definitely. Yeah. I actually just got the email today in terms of what the beers are going to be. So Ellison, they're having an unnamed IPA. They basically said that they're probably going to have a name for it by the time the competition starts.
This is such cheating, by the way.
It kind of is.
I see Old Nation's list.
So Ellison also going to have a second anniversary barrel-aged barley wine. Their Tailgate Crusher Lager, and a Tiramisu Stout.
Love it.
Old Nation is obviously not fucking around. they are going to have the barrel-aged Brother Pious Barley Wine, which I have still... barley wine is life for me, and I still need to try this. Boss Tweed, Day Mouse, the Sour, and M43.
My gosh.
What's the... I saw the... Ellison is the underdog here.
I would love for this competition to change up a bit. Maybe knock it down to 3 taps and be like, you cannot reuse the same taps after the first round. Because I want, you should be able to go deep and win.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got a deep enough bench. Then you should be able to.
Because, we've had Ellison on here a couple times. We had Kaylin on here.
We've had Old Nation.
Tiramisu Stout is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're going up, and you have to look at also the beers, too. They're really different beers. The unnamed IPA, unless they're going with, Relativity, which is their...
Crescent Fret.
Crescent Fresh, yeah. There you go.
Or you can get with that juice.
Yeah, you can get with that juice. So unless they go with a juicy IPA...
I feel like they have to in order to go against... and it's basically 2 against 1.
What's the point of putting Boss Tweed and M43 on there, too, though? Like, if you got Boss Tweed, why bother with M43 and go with something else?
Yeah, why confuse people?
I think because, it's overall you need the most pours, and I guess you would get more pours out of M43 because of the lower alcohol content.
That's very true. But, they do have Tailgate Crusher Lager in there, which is obviously a lot lower than all those beers.
True.
The whole goal is to crush them. Maybe we just need to go there and just start crushing some lagers.
But for those who are definite fans of M43 and Boss Tweed, I kind of feel like the pours just from those two alone
will knock you on your ass.
We'll take out 3 of Ellison's beers. And then the other 2 from Old Nation will just take on the other one. I think it basically Old Nation will I kind of feel like they'll take over the pours maybe. I'd say 3-1.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you, but ugh.
I know. So that one's going down again this Wednesday at Ashley's. In Westland, it's a corner of Warren and Wayne. I almost forgot where I freaking hosted trivia for 3.5 years. Just outside Westland Mall, so definitely run on there in Wednesday and get yourself.
Yeah, we've been there a few times for a few festivals.
Oh, yeah. Castgale.
I love the Castgale.
They do have the other lineups that are going on, and all of these are happening the following Wednesdays this month. So January 17th is going to be Griffin Claw versus Oddside.
That's a good one.
The 24th is going to be Arbor Brewing versus Drafting Table, which I swear to God, if they have rye, whiskey, mead, vanilla bean,
or Palate,
I'm there. Yeah, I haven't tried Palate yet, so I'm interested in that. The 31st is going to be Canton Brew Works versus River's Edge.
Interesting.
So those are the breweries. The lineups will be announced for those as
you know. What's awesome is we've had all those breweries on except for River's Edge.
Yeah.
I guess that's what we got to get for 2018 is River's Edge back on here.
Struggling
or on here.
I'm sorry, that'll never die.
I'll never die. There was a voluntary recall that came out today from Schramm's.
I literally just saw this minutes ago. What is going on here?
So what's going on is that a voluntary recall of the 375 milliliter bottles of elderberry from Schramm's, apparently since late last month, two customers reported nausea and they're having upset stomach after having consumed the elderberry mead. Out of an abundance of caution, they're recommending that customers who have a bottle of Schramm's elderberry should not consume it and are urged to return the bottles to Schramm's in Ferndale for a full refund. The bottles were released between September 30th and December 6th of last year. I almost said this year, still used in 2017. And they were sold exclusively from Schramm's tasting room. So that's really the only place you would have ever got it.
So less than 1% of people that bought these bottles.
Oh, who's drank it.
Or who's drank them. But they said 902 bottles sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how fast people are willing to drink this stuff.
But, that's definitely taking the caution. Because, nausea and upset stomach from drinking a mead, I would have to think that, even just for it being two people out of 902, I certainly applaud them taking the caution to just say, screw this. We'll give you the money back and, you can be on your way. I mean, if you want to take a shot and, go for it, then, I guess you're paying for the hospital visit if you have to go. But it's definitely, hell, you don't even hear about stuff like this from car companies where, such a low percentage and they throw out a recall. So it's pretty good on them to be able to do that. And
every time you think about automotive companies and recalls, I just think about that one scene from Fight Club with Edward Norton.
Right.
So which company do you work for? The one of the big ones. Right. And how often do these accidents happen? You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's also on the bottles, there's a two-line bottling date. It says batch number 1/9/2017. Appears in black ink on the bottom inch of the bottle. So this apparently was the only batch of elderberry that was released by Schramm. So again, if you have one of those and you want to take it back up there, they, again, will give you a full refund. Otherwise, drink at your own risk. So have fun with that.
I am just curious at how many people may have traded for it or up bought it and purchased for way more than it's worth, and you're just SOL.
Pretty much. At least you get some of it back if you can get there.
If you can get there, yeah. That's also that. At that point, I'd probably just drink it. To hell with it.
You'd risk it? Just say hell with it and just go for it?
Fair. Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, true.
Nobody died. They just got sick.
Whatever, getting ready to run a, preparing for a tough mutter and might get neurovirus. Fair enough.
Isn't that what happened at the Tough Mutter Michigan, the first one ever?
Dang right, dude.
I ran Tough Mutter Ohio. What was so funny is that I never realized how many people I knew ran that. And it's these people that I've met after the fact. But I believe it was Evan from Baffin had ran Tough Mudder, and we were talking about that event. And it's just ridiculous because that was – so you had the neurovirus for Ohio in 2012. It was like hypothermia. That was the big issue because we had to jump in like 35-degree rainy gray weather. We had to jump in the standing water quarry, the Buckeye Quarry.
Right.
Like when I jumped in there, my body just went into like shock.
Oh.
Like – so cold, can't move. And like, I started swimming and I looked up and I realized I hadn't moved an inch. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened here, but I need to be saved now because. So I got kayaked out. Then I still ran another 7 miles and still quit before I finished.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, I don't know about that. I may try. Anyway, going on, starting this month, Dogfish Head is going to be now entering their 38th state as they begin distribution into Louisiana. Beer is going to be shipping into Lafayette, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans this month, while deliveries to the northern half of the state is slated to begin in February. It's kind of interesting, though, is that, of course, last year they moved into a total of 7 states, being West Virginia, Kansas, New Mexico, Minnesota, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Alabama. At a time that the craft beer market has slowed, it's still grown, but it's slowed. Do you think that they're going to push forward and try and duplicate what they did last year? Or is this just kind of just a residual from last year and they may just kind of pull back?
I don't think they'll pull back. They got too much fuck you money. A lot of people, when they dog on breweries for selling out to big name alcohol, San Miguel or Lagunitas, goes to Heineken, Dogfish Head went the route of hedge fund. They have hedge fund back them up. And I personally see no difference between hedge fund or San Miguel because both of them are going to do whatever they can lobbying-wise to protect their investment. Therefore, again, it's something I don't see. I think maybe their distro into new states will be slow. They might not do 7 this year. They maybe do 2, 3, 4 at the most. But it's going to be one of those things to where they're too big to not do it. And their name recognition, at least in states, like you could probably go to Louisiana and people know what Dogfish Head is.
Probably.
Nick, Angela, any?
I'm sorry, I'm working on a trade.
Trying to get your Pliny?
Yeah. No, shush.
I guess maybe that is even is a good question. What would you guys, I mean, I guess if you guys wanted one, what would you trade for a Pliny?
I don't even think I even have anything to even trade for. I mean, got some BCBSs, but, you know, this is...
A canister of Clorox disinfecting wipes? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not my style. I don't know why you guys are asking.
I know, it's not your style. It's IPA.
You want to ask me what I'd trade for some Cigar City Maduro?
There you go. I've never really been into the whole trading. I've never tried it, I guess you could say. But.
I've never traded beer, but I have I've muled plenty of times.
Sure.
And that's the one thing that I'll never – two things. One, if I ever go somewhere, I always tell people, hey, I'm going here. Do you guys need anything, especially for my friends, even people that I don't know? Like at one point I was at DACB and none of my friends wanted Zombie Dust, and Zombie Dust was there. And I'm like, here you go. I'm getting 8 4-packs of Zombie Dust. Who wants that? Or 8 6-packs of Zombie Dust. Who wants them?
Right.
And the first 8 people that messaged me, I said, all right, this is where I go. This is where I am. This is where you can pick it up. Some people came to my apartment. Some people came out here to the studio. Some people can't, you know, I met them up when I was driving through for work. And that's it. Like, I do my best to not only promote the community, but do, you know, good for other people. In regards to trades, I've done a few trades, actually. That's a lie. So I have to think about it. But I've also done really lopsided trades because the thing turns on the next one.
Yeah.
So there might be a trade where I don't have something, but the guy's looking to get rid of it. But he'll know that I'll get something that he wants, and he'll trade me something really lowball for it to where it evens out at the end.
Right.
And you can get a lot of those people. Like, if you trade consistently, obviously you're going to get a lot of those people to where – there might even be times where they just don't ask you for anything. They're like, all right, I got this. You want it? All right, here you go. I'll ask for something later.
Right.
And at that point, you know, I'll be like, you know, I'll start poking things like, hey, if you find this, hey, if you find this, hey, if you find this.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to I don't expect it. I don't like that. That's one thing too. And I think let's kind of go here? Because obviously I think Angela and Rob may do more trades. Nick doesn't do any. But what do you think the courtesy is for thank you beers? Like, do you think it's a necessity? Do you think it's extra? Like, for me, if I know you went out of your way to do something for me, sure, I'll give you a thank you beer. But if you're just doing a flat-out trade with me, I'm not going to give you a thank you beer.
I mean, that's pretty much where I am.
And the out-of-the-way could be you driving all the way to me because I can't get to you. That might be a courtesy, not necessarily like you were in an area and you picked something up for me.
Right. I mean, if somebody, you know, if I was looking, you know, when CBS hit Costco and somebody went to Madison Heights Costco and picked up a bottle for me and I was coming here to the studio and they were bringing it here, you know, that...
Absolutely nothing for that.
Right. That's not that far out of the way. I mean, the Costco from the studio is roughly 2.5 miles away. I don't consider that really going out of the way.
Oh, I would still give a thank you beer for that.
I don't know. I probably would.
If the guy took his time to go there to buy it, to deliver it to me, that would be thank you beer worthy. Mm-hmm. If I said I have this Cooper Doppelbach and you have the Dragon's Milk Mint and we're doing like a one-for-one trade, here's my bottle, here's your bottle, GG.
Right.
You know, we meet at a central location or, you know, near one place or the other that's not out of the way. Mm-hmm. That was the agreed upon terms. Right. But if somebody's doing something like all those zombie dust that I did, I got a few thank you beers. And that's for the fact that, one, I did the legwork, not that I needed to do anything except hop off 94 on my way home from Chicago and hop back on the freeway.
Right.
But again, they're giving me the beer as a thank you of a, hey, thank you for doing this for me. You went out of your way, whether you think you did or you didn't, to get this beer. Mm-hmm. I can't give you a thank you. I don't feel the necessity to give someone a thank you beer if I'm literally just doing a one-on-one trade.
Right.
Like, yeah. What do you guys think? I mean, Nick, you don't matter. Angela.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it gets a little out of hand. Because I'll ship stuff. I don't know if Rob ships stuff. So you're adding on, like, extra cost, extra box space. But I feel like I've usually ended up throwing people some, like, KBSs as thank yous. Because now I realize I don't even really want those. So.
I guess that's another.
I haven't done an in-person in a long time. I did have someone come once in, like, the beginning of the summer when I was still waiting tables, and I just ended up buying them a beer because they were coming in that way anyway. So that worked out well. I mean, buying someone like a $6
beer. That's a thank you beer.
But, I mean, I guess I feel like it's kind of standard if you're trading, you have to have something extra to throw in. I've gotten, like, home brews as thank yous. I have never opened. Maybe I'll bring that one next week.
Again, I think a lot of people, and especially for people that I know, if I'm doing something, muling something or getting something, like, for instance, I'm going to Boston in a month, and someone through DACB that I know and I've hung out with and partied with, you know, he's from Boston. I'm like, you know, hey, if you need anything while I'm here, and I'm not going to Boston like on purpose to like pick him up beer. I'm just going to be there. Right. So if I come back, he's not going to give me something extravagant. And if he doesn't give me anything, I'll be fine. But if he gives me, like, a brown ale, like a six-pack of Bel Air Brown, I'll be like, all right, we are friends. And, right. You know, and that's the thing, though, is that because they'll pay the price of whatever it is. And that's the hard thing, too, dealing with traders. Like, I could never do shipping trades. I just don't.
Neither can I.
I don't trust people.
I can't do it. It's every trade that I've done.
I've made such good friends with all the people that
I don't trust sending money over the internet to people I don't know, and I don't trust getting beer back.
Nope. I will not do
it. It's pretty standard that you take a picture of the shipping label with their address. I mean, if you don't follow through.
I can do that and not pay for the shipping label and still.
If you don't follow through for your trade, you're just going to end up getting, like, bashed and banned from every group. So it's like you're in those groups to trade or you're not even a real person because you're going to get kicked out. So I don't know. I've only had good experiences, and everyone that I've traded with is now, like, my social media friends. And I wish, you know, like, even one of the guys was like, Merry Christmas or whatever. So
send you a little Snapchat.
Not a Snapchat. It was just a regular text.
I will only trade in person. Whenever I ship anything, I ship to family and friends, and that is it. That's the thing. I got trust issues. I can't trust. I don't trust.
People are terrible. Actually, this ends up being a very bizarre thing because you're just.
I can't trust it. I mean, I barely even trust the box even getting there to my friends or family. Never mind that it getting there, and then I have to trust this person to actually send beer back. Now, granted, it's like you said, there's going to be nice people that are out there that are going to do it. I don't have the wherewithal to even bother trying it. It's just, if we're going to do a trade, we'll do it in person. I've gotten thank you beers before.
I think that gets also to the point to where I just don't, there's not a beer for me that I need that bad. There's no such thing as a beer that I've ever needed so bad that it gets shipped to me.
Apparently, Angie needs a Pliny. So.
There are wants, but not needs. Like, if I could get a bottle of I'm so excited, I'm so scared.
I keep seeing that can too. I haven't seen the can.
I've seen the bottle
whichever. It just looks kind of interesting.
Well, we've talked about it on this show like almost a year ago. We talked about it, and that's the Saved by the Bell quote.
Yep.
From Jesse Spano when she was high on caffeine pills.
Yep.
Because that was after school special in the early '90s. Was the dangers of caffeine pills.
Never mind the war on drugs. So, I mean, as far as, and I kind of had this other thought too, in terms of the boards, it's kind of
hiding his face.
I know. As far as the boards are,
is it just me?
No, it's hot in here.
I'm comfy.
Yeah, I know. As far as the boards, have the boards, I guess from this last year, have the boards kind of turned you off a little bit? From even just wanting to see what's going on the beer boards, because I guess for me, it's like I don't even care anymore. It's just like too much. It's basically, it's like you sit there and you throw in Dynasty, Dallas, Knott's Landing, and the Colbys all together. What? It's just nothing but fucking primetime soap opera drama, and I'm done with it.
Did you say Dynasty?
Dynasty, Dallas, Knott's Landing, and the Colbys.
Let's throw in Twin Peaks while we're at it, too.
I mean, well, at least Twin Peaks has that little weirdness factor that, like,
yeah,
okay, this is
I was told I would love that show. But.
It's I don't like it.
So one of the big things for the boards, before we take a break, for me in regards to the boards, I obviously watch it to follow the news, follow what's going on.
Yeah.
I skim through. Like, I don't even bother with the drink threads and the hall threads and all that stuff. Like, that stuff I just kind of pass by. When I see stuff, and it's like there are things where people will blatantly call out. Like there was a call out of a restaurant in Royal Oak not too long ago, and they went off saying, "Why do people not like this place?" And I'm like,
"I saw that one.
I don't know. Why do they not like this place?" And there are reasons why not to like a place. And there are reasons why to like a place, but there's so much negativity and toxicity within the industry for the fan base. Mind you, we have been here and we've talked to brewer upon owner upon marketer upon bartender. We have met the people in the industry and they laugh at you. They laugh at you so hard for the dumb shit you say, the dumb shit you do, and the dumb shit that happens. And it's not for the fact that they feel better than you or they feel higher or more authoritative than you. Again, I've felt the same. Like, I've been on both sides. I've laughed at people and I've been like, all right, what the hell? Because I've felt like a brewery or an industry or something like that has been negative against me. But when you're complaining, like at one point people are already talking about a Bell's recall. And that might be true, but the Hop Slam recall. And I'm like, there's already a Hop Slam recall? You look at this and, you know, we talk to these breweries and we talk And, you know, we have contests, and the contests are meant to be fun. The brewers have fun doing these contests.
They do.
Like, when we had the Stout 16 last year, we had Dearborn Brewing versus Downey Brewing, round number one. And they were having a blast. The Dearborn Chamber of Commerce got in on it. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone was having fun. And when you get to the people that are like, oh, my gosh, why is this brewery winning? Or how did this brewery lose? Or what's going on? It's not meant to be a be-all, end-all beer advocate. Like, if you want to be serious, I'm going to tell you right now, as much as I love our show, this is, you know, episode 115. I love talking to people. If you're here looking for a true breakdown on beer, go listen to The Beerists. The Beerists is a great show.
I have not listened to The Beerists, but I've said this, and Ken, I think you've heard me say this. Rob, Angela, I think you've heard me say this. This is not your cookie cutter. We're gonna rate Dragon's Milk Mocha Mint. Sorry, it's the first beer I saw. Forgive me. We're not gonna rate it.
So
we're gonna talk. We're gonna talk about beer. We're gonna talk about the industry.
We're gonna talk to the people how they get it, learn their story, and with the beers, yep. The beers do it without being finger in the air annoying. Pinky in the air annoying, I should say.
So what you're saying is we are annoying.
No. I don't think we're annoying at all. Personally. Well, I mean, I can be.
We're not drinking our beer pinkies up, so we're okay.
Hold on, wait. So, for people on Twitch.
You put the wrong pinky up there.
I know, what the? That's...
By the way, I opened up a second Cooper project, so you guys need to start drinking this too.
But I checked out of work at like 9 a.m. this morning.
But again, there are, you know, we're here more for entertainment. We're here, you know, when we had our thing and people are like, you guys are kind of all over the place. And that's kind of the thing is that's how a conversation rolls when you're talking to your friends. You're all over the place. You're, you know, we have a centric idea of what we're going to talk about. We have news. We have five questions. We have the brewer interviews. But in the end, we're not here to tell you, because we can't tell you if you'll like a beer or not. We can't tell you if this beer is good or not. And it's not because, like, for me, I'll fully admit, I have a garbage palate. I'm not one that's going to tell you, like, I'm not going to be able to pick up biscuit notes and thistle and thyme and all this other shit.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah.
What's that, biscuit notes? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. But again, as I mentioned, if you want that stuff without the hoity-toity shit, The Beerists is a great show. They're entertaining, and they're going to give you that because they break down a lot of beers. They tell you what you can like, what you might not like, depending on who you are. Our show is 100% the opposite, and it's not the it's the anti-beerist, and it's not like, fuck them, because I don't feel that way.
It's not a slight against them.
Not at all. But it's literally, this show is meant to be fun. This show is meant to be funny. If you don't find us funny, that's perfectly fine, too. Comedy is subjective, just as beer is subjective.
Yeah.
I have no idea how we got here.
I don't know. Preach. Damn.
I mean, 115 episodes is a long time.
And you know how we got there is North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan.
I was waiting for the "if you like it, it's a good beer," as said by North Center Brewing.
That's priceless, man. That's
I was
awesome.
Waiting
but,
for it. You
but
had
but
it.
Again, that's the thing. And as Rob said, if you like it, it's a good beer. That's North Center Brewing's thing. They're gonna brew. They're gonna drink.
Yep.
If you like it, great. If you don't, try another beer. And if you don't like any other beers,
find another one.
Your decision. But the place is great. They have open night mic nights. They have Sporkle. They have shuffleboard. This is that's why we like North Center. That's why North Center sponsors us.
Yes.
It is because we follow the same mentality as they do. Mm-hmm. Drink the beer you like the beer you drink. Plain and simple. So we are going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Better on Draft Podcast. And we are live, episode 115, segment 3, Better on Draft Podcast. Woo! It is the final segment. We don't have five questions. But you know who asks a lot of questions? Sporkle Trivia asks a lot of questions.
They do.
They do. Like 10 questions per round and all that stuff. How many bars are they in the Metro Detroit area?
Oh, geez. We are in somewhere around 200.
Yeah, 200 bars in the Metro Detroit area every night of the week. You can play that shit online. You would almost think they sponsor us.
You would almost think
they do sponsor us. Thank you very much to Sporkle. Go check them out. Go check out all the bars that do host Sporkle, including North Center Brewing, as well as Rob, you host at Eastern Market Brewing. Over
Wednesdays at 7 o'clock.
Both of them are Wednesdays.
Yes. Also, definitely go up there to Spoken.com/live. Check out all of our locations where we host, where we are actually having theme nights this coming Tuesday, January 23rd. Which this month is Harry Potter. So for those who
Leviosa,
for those who Leviosa,
you know,
go on up to Sporkle.com/live. Look up theme nights. Tickets are on sale and they are going fast. I'm actually hosting one of those, which would be the one right down the street at Mesa.
So no one told you life was going to be this way. I'm actually hosting a special event myself.
Yes, you are.
Now, it's going to be in competition with you, which is fair. I understand. But it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And by once-in-a-lifetime, it's because it's me hosting in a January 2018 doing a private event. Not private. It's open to the public. At One Eye Betty's with Farmhouse Ciders. And that is a Friends trivia this month.
Oh, yeah. Is that a ticketed event?
It is not a ticketed event. We're going to be starting at 9, so if those of you who are paying attention did not see the time change, the time did change. It's going to be starting at 9. It will end at 11-ish. If there's a lot of teams, it kind of takes me a few extra minutes to score all those scorecards.
I can understand that.
So, whereas you have about 20 questions in a two-hour time span, I have 50 to grade.
I got close to 50. We got 10 questions. The mystery round is 4 questions in there and then a final.
So that's
25.
That's 25 and
per
I
game. So 50.
No, that's 10 per game plus your 4 plus your 1. So that's 15 per game.
I can't add.
So that's 30.
The second he said it, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
What did I just say?
Just a few more.
This is why I host.
So it will end around 11. Trust me, I keep my time. Those of you who went to the South Park trivia as well as the Christmas movies trivia, you will agree with me. So definitely check it out. But if you don't get a chance to check it out, you can get a lot of those beers that we're going to be drinking at One-Eyed Betty's. Over at Zaytuna Liquor.
Talking about Brown Iron.
Brown Iron.
Oh, speaking of Zaytuna, I did buy this McKellar at Zaytuna's.
And Jack didn't try to stop you?
No.
He's like, all right, money.
It's $5. It's hardly a money push.
$5.50. That's 10% more than you said. $5.50 is a lot of money. I don't know. I might spend $5 on that, but nobody gave me a taste, so I didn't get a chance to taste it.
If you could spend $5 on this beer again or take $5 worth of tacos from Taco Bell, what would you choose?
$5 of tacos from Taco Bell? Please, have you guys tried the Stacker yet? That thing's delicious.
I have not tried the Stacker yet, but I am intrigued. I would go to Taco Bell.
That's basically a chicken quesadilla with some extra chicken.
No, I have not.
Someone's not paying attention.
Tacos, yes. or the
Mexis Ranger.
$5 of tacos or $5 of Walker Mexis Ranger.
Tacos, man.
It's tacos.
Tacos.
So if you could, here we go. You ready? If you had the choice, $5 worth of beer, that beer, or avocados.
Ooh.
Like on sale at Kroger Marketplace for one is like $5 for $5.
This avocado thing is so out of control.
But it's your thing.
So not.
It's your thing.
Now, Angela, are you saying you don't like avocados?
I would never say such a thing.
I love avocados.
I still think
all of your toast depends on this answer.
I still think I would buy the beer.
Really?
Avocados ain't going nowhere, in spite of that little truck accident that lost 30,000 pounds of avocados.
It's just toasted avocado.
I've got 2 in my fridge to go home to.
2 avocados. I don't like avocados at all.
That's insane.
Love
that I don't like avocados?
Everything is coming full circle. You don't like IPAs. You don't like avocados. You're hardly an American.
What?
Wow.
What? Where's this show going?
I don't know.
Apparently he's not wearing his flag lapel pin right now. What just happened?
I'm a man without a country, apparently. Do you like olives?
Yeah, I love olives.
And I don't like olives. It's like the olive theory. We're perfect for each other now, apparently.
In what universe? Because we are not on the same page.
My God.
Yeah, I don't like IPAs at all.
And you don't like
that. That's the thing, too. So I'm at Brown Iron Brew House, and everyone's trying to figure out who I am on the show. And obviously, my voice is very recognizable.
And guess what? He wasn't drinking.
I was not drinking. I drank the Brown Iron Brew House beer, and I drank the Life Water because I didn't want to drink anybody. Even though we bought all the beer for Boss Tweed and Baffin's Wicked Smart. I did not want to drink that. I wanted everyone else to enjoy it. So right. I would drink something else.
No, that makes sense. I mean, it's like
that Life Water was really good, though. I really need to find some more of that in my life. What sucks is it's on Nitro, so I don't want to like get a growler of it.
I keep feeling like they're going to get sued from the guys who make Smart Water.
Life Water?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's – maybe if they did like maybe Mart Water or – or dumb water.
That's C&D-able.
Well, I mean, they had Party at the Moon Tower.
Yeah.
Which there's so many beers. It's confusing to me when I see cease and desist, because we were talking to Evan about it. And what do you call it? Old Nation just got a C&D, actually.
For really? What?
For Boxer.
Hmm.
So poor. Boxer will be changing its name. I don't know to what.
To MMA.
to MMA. But Boxer will be changing its name. They got a C&D from a company that makes like Boxer Stout or Boxer something. I don't know. But they got a C&D, and it's just so crazy to think like how that happens.
I feel like they should have just sent him a six of M43 with a note to say, come at me, bro.
Well, I mean, with the giant expansion they just had, I don't know if they got the money right now. As much as people are talking about, like, so speaking to the groups, like, people are talking about, like, Old Nation with, like, buckets of money. And I'm like, oh, I don't think you understand how beer works, sir.
Right. I mean, they just got that huge-ass fermenter that they're looking for a name for.
I told them BetterOnDraft.com would be a great name.
I'm sure you did.
Thanks.
I saw one of your comments that kind of led to that. I didn't see the actual comment, but... it was kind of one of those.
They're asking how much is a sponsorship, and I said, I said something like Goodwill? Question mark.
Right. So yeah, I don't know about that.
So let's go over maybe one more news article before we cash out for the night.
All right. Let me actually get back to the news because I wasn't even actually in it at that point.
Well, what the hell?
Well, you know what the hell? I was busy looking at shit.
Well, that's not good. Come on, Rob.
What? I mean, I don't do the news in segment three. This is above my pay grade.
We pay you nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
We pay me nothing.
We all don't right. get anything from that.
All right, all right,
we
all
get
right.
nothing. We yeah. lose. Good day, sir.
So this is. I was going to go through one that was coming out of Maryland. So Maryland's comptroller is introduced a new bill, or what would become a bill. Last November, it was called the Reform on Tap Act of 2018, and I kind of noted that would sound like a really good new name for the show if we ever went into beer politics, just Reform on Tap, so we would just call ourselves that. But basically, this would remove all limits on beer production as well as restrictions on taproom and take-home sales. It would also allow a rollback of a controversial buyback provision that required breweries that sell more than 2,000 barrels of beer directly to consumers to purchase another 1,000 barrels from a wholesaler at a marked up cost. So essentially sell their 1,000 barrels to a distributor. The distributor drives it back to their warehouse. They then drive it from the warehouse back to the brewery so that the brewery can then buy it back at a marked up cost. Among some of the other changes in this proposed bill was going to include the elimination of the state's franchise laws, which pretty much lock breweries into lifetime contracts with wholesalers, allow local jurisdictions to set taproom hours, and allow brewers producing less than 300,000 barrels of beer to self-distribute. Obviously, the distributors and wholesalers are not happy about this because this kind of attacks their bottom line. And, you know, they're going to be making less money if this were to come into effect. I guess, is this a case of just the brewing world evolving and the distributors and wholesalers are not keeping up and are just basically just trying to stall in order for them to be able to catch up. Because obviously, to me, the breweries should be able to make their money and run their business. And I don't think that they should be stifled by, you know, if we sell over 2,000 barrels, I got to sell my beer to somebody to then buy it back so that I can sell my beer.
This sounds ridiculous, and I agree. But a lot of people are trying to figure out why does this sound ridiculous. So we had talked about it earlier when we talked about the Wisconsin Tavern League months ago. And this was the fact that a lot of people, taverns, pubs, bars, feel that there is a competitive advantage for breweries because they do not have to buy their beer from a wholesaler, from a distro. They can make their own and sell their own. Now, for me, I love and hate the three-tier system all at the same time. Big boys like your New Holland, Bell's, Founders, Oddside, they can produce, keep, sell, and deliver themselves and make that money without any issues. Small breweries, your Sellermans, your Downey, your Baffin, could deliver the few barrels that they deliver daily, weekly, to their appropriate places without any issues. The mid-tiers are the ones that really need that distro license because, one, it gives the opportunity for you to sell your beer, get your beer out. But, it's such a random catch-22 because now, because everything goes through distro, the big beer, your Bell's, Founders, etc., subsidize the small breweries to where they don't have to get overcharged for getting their beers into other places. So whereas Bell's, Founders sells, you know, five-figure, six-figure barrels, Baffin can go and be like, all right, well, now that we sold all this stuff, we can take Baffin's 20 kegs and maneuver them around, you know, the Metro Macomb area without any issues. I don't think there is a better system. I think one thing in regards to wholesalers and distro is that I don't think tier one should be able to buy tier two, which is the case. You have Miller Houses, right. Your Bud Houses. I don't think that should be allowed. Period. End of sentence. I don't think there should be anyone that is allowed to buy those tiers. But you need those tiers to get the smaller breweries out there. So that's that part.
That's like Comcast buying NBC. Way, isn't it?
I agree.
Yeah.
In regards to this, where you have to sell and buy back, that's just bullshit. You're literally doing it as a faux reason to create jobs or create. There is no reason a brewery should have to sell their beer to a wholesaler to buy it back as long as they are selling it on premise. Now, we can get into the nitty gritty. Griffin Claw, which is obviously the big runaround here, who owns Big
Club,
Rock?
Club BFD.
Well, Club BFD. Mm-hmm. But now see,
Clubhouse BFD.
Clubhouse BFD. But they're not only selling Griffin Claw there.
Right. No. They run through some crazy tappings in there.
So when you look at, is this a place that's selling their beer and their beer only? So if I was Griffin Claw and I had Clubhouse BFD and it was some like American Fair pub that only sold Griffin Claw beer, I would 100% agree they should not have to go through distro to get that beer to that house. But when you own a house and you're selling other beer, selling other stuff, I think it's unfair to that, to other bars around the area.
It does give them a bit of a competitive CK
Diggs.
Advantage.
Exactly. CK Diggs would be the biggest one too, BFD, right down the road. It would give them a competitive advantage to where they're going to be able to save that money and now undercut their own beer. Because not only are they selling their beer, they can sell their beer on a discount and get people in the door just from that. Because again, the rule in Michigan is you need to sell the keg, no matter how you break it down, for 1 cent more than you purchased it for. That's the only rule about alcohol in the state of Michigan, is that you cannot sell a beer for less than what you purchased for. But if you purchased a large grouping of beer, you can say, well, if I bought, for instance, we'll say Hopslam. I'm going to make bullshit numbers, by the way. These numbers don't exist. Don't quote me. I bought a keg of Hopslam for $1,000. Simple, easy, way too much money. But I bought a keg of Hopslam for $1,000. If I sold 50 glasses of Hopslam for $20, that's $1,000.
Right.
Now, I have another 60 glasses. I could sell them for 1 cent legally because I have made my $1,000. So when you have these rules, it's ridiculous. Like, there's so much intricacy. And you can tell, like, the inner fight within me because – as much like I was born, raised like a business person, like a conservative business person. Like I'm that guy. Do they want to make money? Can they make money? How do they make money? Taxes. Woo. You know, tax deals, tax break. Go for it. Save money. Penny pinch. But I'm also on the other side like, yeah, we need a $15 minimum livable wage and we need, you know, people to be able to afford health care. So. It's a hard fight against each other, but I believe, and it's trying not to get political about it, but if you can't afford, obviously, to – if you can't afford to pay the people that are working for you, you can't afford to be in business. That's what I'll say about that. In the same sense, if you can't afford to pay the people to live a livable wage, you shouldn't be in business. That's what I said. That's what I meant.
That's fair.
So going back to here, the whole thing is about the Tavern League, the Wisconsin Tavern League. This is unfair to I'm trying to think. This is unfair to Rosie O'Grady's because over at the WAB, they can sell their own beer and they don't have to distro it. But I have to buy the WAB's beer from distro. Whereas the WAB just makes it. And to be honest, if you make your own shit, you should be able to sell it.
That's exactly what I think.
So. I mean, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Feel free to chime in.
Nick?
There's four of us here, obviously. I don't know if you guys knew that.
You're pausing.
Hold on. We're on.
I just have this. I really just don't understand the whole distribution system as to how it works. I mean, I've heard about it.
So the brewer makes the beer, sells it to distro, and then the distro sells it to the bars and the beer stores.
I get that.
This would have been a great conversation to bring up with Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he would have been all
he lived in it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I feel that the smaller breweries should be able
the
to.
The Decadent's much better than the Dragon's Milk.
Really?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Now, go on, don't Nick. Say sorry. It's the one that brought the damn thing here. I feel like these smaller breweries should be able to self-distro, personally.
I agree.
I that's what I think. I mean.
But again, it's these...
probably so hard for them to get into the game of distribution to begin with because their intent probably was not to distro but from the very get-go, but they want to expand as a business, and the only way you're going to be able to do that is by distroing.
But the reason their distro is so cheap in comparison to what it could be is because of Bell's founders having to distro.
And unfortunately, that's what lobbying does.
It's again, I feel you need both because I feel it would hurt mid- and low-tier brewers more if you allowed Bell's and founders to do the distro. Or to do their own distro, I should say.
Right.
Now, because they have their own sales team.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I believe Evan's going to start over at Baffin's going to start doing sales because they're going to try to get in a little bit more distro and step away from the brewing process. When you have this distro, you have this ability, you have this third party fighting for you. But again, that's why I don't believe tier one should be able to buy tier two. These people are fighting for you, but now they're lining their pockets with Budweiser money. Now they're lining their pockets with Miller money. And look at me. I'm the Miller and Bud sympathizer. I'm the guy that is for big beer so many times. But I don't agree with tier one, but it should be three separate tiers. You have your brewer, you have your distro, you have your purchaser. I don't think tier two needs to be purchased if you are making your own beer.
Sure.
just as much. So we're talking. Let's bring up Brown Iron real quick. They brew on premise over at Brown Iron. I don't think they need to sell to a different place. But if they are selling to Brown Iron number 2, which is just a tap house and not a brew house, I think they need to go through Distro.
That might be a thing. I was making an example.
I didn't say Brown Iron's opening up a second location.
No, I meant having to sell it to the second party. I don't know a lot about the tiers, to be honest with you. I kind of tune that part out when we're in meetings.
But you know, this is me talking here. I mean, if Brown Iron is selling to Brown Iron, I don't know why we're using Brown Iron as an example.
Well, Brown Iron's a tap house that brews on site, whereas BFD is a tap house that is owned by Griffin Claw.
Okay, but so if Brown Iron is going to brew their own beer
on site,
and sell it, and you know they're going to open up another place, which is just a tap house. They're not brewing anything. Why? And this is, like I said, this is just me talking. Why in the hell should they have to sell their beer only to buy it back on the other end? Why do they have to do that when they are going to sell it
because
under the Brown Iron name?
Right.
It's something that they produced. Why can't they just sell it?
But that goes
into
the,
it over there.
That goes into the same thing with Clubhouse BFD. Even if it's the same name,
uh-huh.
I mean – It's probably the worst kept secret in the world that Clubhouse BFT
is
basically owned by Griffin Claw.
Right.
Whether it's the same name or not, if it's a tap house and they're selling other different beers,
mm-hmm.
I just like Ken said, that they have to pay for the distribution for those other beers coming in.
Sure.
They should have to pay the distribution for even there being their own beer. They should have to pay for that coming in.
And I guess you want to try to keep it uniform across all walks of life.
Right.
At least here in
how
the state.
Common is this, by the way? I mean, we know of Griffin Claw, but how common
I mean,
is this?
I guess thinking on another spectrum of it is what about Kunin? And Kunin having a Warren location and their Clinton Township location.
That's a good example. Yeah.
They don't sell any other beer. They should be able to move the beer between the two places without any issue.
Well, then why wouldn't Brown Iron be able to do that?
Because they sell other beer that they have to buy through Distro.
Right. That's
too many rules. There's too many rules.
Welcome to legislation.
the same legislation where Thomas Hooker's freaking repeal law didn't even make it
to
the floor yet.
So that's going to do it for us here. Better on Draft, episode 115. My name is Ken. Thank you to our sponsors, Sporkle Trivia, brand new sponsor, as well as North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, Brown Iron Brew House in Washington Township, and Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Better on Draft, as well as you can find us on BOD Podcast on Untappd and on Twitch. Better on Draft on YouTube. Forgot about that. And no matter what you think of your beer, where you think it's... Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.
Night.